A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, and of course, pardon me, iHeartRadio. By the way, the Pegasus World Cup is tomorrow. That means two new episodes of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, the RFRP. The Handicappers Pop-Up features Las Vegas bookmakers and horse players Chrissy Andrews, Johnny Avello, Dwayne Colucci, and Vinny Maliulo. The regular episode offers local knowledge about the Pegasus from Akashia Courtney of Gulfstream Park TV, plus an interview with Ed Musselman on why he stopped publishing the controversial Indian Charlie newsletter. Subscribe free to get every episode automatically, or look for the Ron Flatter Racing Pod at VSiN.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Sponsored by First Bet. It's Gil Alexander. It's Jason Kahn. In case you missed the news just before the break there, Henry Aaron, Hammer and Hank. Hank Aaron passing away at the age of 86. Baseball's longtime home run king. I mentioned he finished with 755 homers through 23 major league seasons. Was inducted to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in 1982, given the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President George W. Bush in 2010, and the seventh now Hall of Famer. Like, these are the guys I grew up collecting baseball cards of. We just did a Don Sutton tribute with Chrissy the other day, but seven Hall of Famers now have died since the beginning of 2020. Bob Gibson, Tom Seaver, Whitey Ford, Lou Brock, Phil Niekro, Al Kaline, Joe Morgan, Don Sutton, and now, wait a minute, I shortchanged him, right? So that's how many? That's
Tommy Lasorda.
That's eight. Tommy Lasorda, now, you know, Hank Aaron. So, yeah. Barry Bonds has 762, but a lot of people still recognize Hank Aaron's 755. I don't subscribe to that, but Hammer and Hank passing away at the age of 86. Willie Mays, the oldest living Hall of Famer now at the age of 89. And Paul Carr and I had that very morbid, creepy segment earlier on the show, which we feel kind of awkward about right now. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback at Beating the Book. Let's see here. Oh, this is a Rob. Same old Rob 05 responding to the Dan Campbell video earlier. You said, I'll put my entire role on season total under the second it comes out. So many people tweeted some variation of that. John Fitzgibbons, this is a surprising plot twist. He was talking about our conversation yesterday with Bill Krakenberger, how, you know, we went through the whole Phil Mickelson, Billy Walters history, and how Phil Mickelson just avoided through a window in time, got lucky because of a window in time that he didn't get prosecuted either. Had the Billy Walters case come up before a certain moment or after a certain moment when precedents were set, Mickelson might be in, you know, have a totally different fate. Instead, he was never prosecuted. And the twist that John Fitzgibbons is talking about here on Twitter is it came out from the White House, from the past White House, the Donald J. Trump White House, that Phil Mickelson was one of the people who stumped on behalf of getting Billy Walters' sentence commuted. Phil Mickelson's lawyer immediately came out and said, yeah, that's not true. We didn't do that. Phil Weiss, saw Inside the Edge last night on your recommendation, the Blackjack documentary I recommended yesterday. Excellent example of discipline in a pretty young guy. Loved it. Even my wife liked it. Yeah, fun for the whole family, Phil. Appreciate that. Let's see. Oh, the great David Hastings. Oh, he's talking about the Dan Campbell video, who said, well said, Gil. David Hastings, I always got to give David a shout out because he got me into the Capitals, Vegas Golden Knights, Stanley Cup Game 5, where I got to see my team win the Stanley Cup after 44 years of existence. We were weeping. So thank you to David Hastings for that, as always. Jim David, still have a couple dozen Griffey Upper Deck rookie cards. Love the current conversation on the card industry this past couple weeks. Yeah, man, Upper Deck just went with it. Just mass-produced them. It was total shadiness. And BC27, just want to point out that Gil's 2 for 2 on documentary recommendations this week. First, the Bee Gees, and now Inside the Edge. You sure you're in the right business? Quit BC and apply to Rotten Tomatoes.
To do the Gil Documentary Awards.
Johnny, yeah, man, that'd be cool. We did 5 to 10 this year on those. Johnny Ringo on Twitter, again, at Beating the Book. The world is coming to an end. Todd made absolute sense. Talking about the fumble through the end zone. Todd making the case.
Football coach voice.
Yeah. let's see here. This is Scott Murphy. Thank you, PASPA. As states are added to legalized sports betting, it will soon take an entire segment to complete the MGM read. You're absolutely right. He goes, by the way, RIP, Henry Aaron. Great hitter, great man. Yeah. By the way, congratulations, Michigan. Congratulations, Virginia, with sports betting this week. So everybody's in play for a championship weekend for both of those. And I can keep reading all these tweets. Very kind of everybody to write in and give feedback. Skill Alexander, it is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, and of course, iHeartRadio. Let's bring him in. He is our senior NBA analyst. We want to talk not only NBA with him, but also UFC and NFL. And most importantly, getting to the bottom of the Jason Kahn Twitter scandal. It's Jonathan Von Tobel. How you doing, JVT?
Good, man. I'm feeling good. It's Friday, right? The end of an era on VSiN. But no, it's I'm excited to start the new role full bore here in the next couple of days. So I'm doing great.
Did you want to flesh that out at all for people, or did you want to just sort of, you know, let it happen? What does that entail?
So, of course, for people who don't know, The Edge, the last day today, so the Monday through Friday show will be all over. So as my new role in senior NBA analyst, and I have a lot of ideas personally, but that'll entail game write-ups every single day. So some game notes, full-on injury reports, analysis in each game every single day. We're going to have a podcast that we're hoping to start, and we'll have it on Thursdays at the very least, if not maybe twice a week, Hardwood Handicappers. And then some stuff in between. You know, I wanted to mess around with some new stuff. You know, we don't do a lot of stuff in terms of live video streams during games, things like that, to kind of get people more engaged. So we're going to do those sporadically too throughout the evenings of NBA action. Hat tip, by the way, to Andy McNeil, who kind of gave me the idea to do that. And Andy's done great, and we talk all the time behind the scenes, so I give Andy credit for that. But just kind of upping the content, you know, and I won't be going anywhere. I think I'll be appearing regularly throughout the shows on the network too. So you'll still see this bright and shining face.
Yes, bright and shining. No, we were talking about Andy yesterday. Andy was tipping me during primetime action. He's like, hey, Dubois is out for the Blue Jackets. Tortorelli's not putting him back on the ice. They're down a goal. Like, get this in. So, I mean, all that stuff is fabulous, and we look forward to your insights doing that. I like the video element to it. And it will all still be at MeJVT on Twitter, correct?
Yes, it will be, and it always has been.
So. Jason, what do you have to say for yourself?
I am worthy of all of your scorn and ridicule, and I can't believe that it's made it this far. It's just one of those things where it must have done it once, and then it just kept doing it and doing it and doing it.
I said to JVT on Primetime Action the other night, I'm like, and we can find you. What happened to your underscore on MeJVT? And JVT, like, live on air is like, I have no idea what you're talking about, dude.
The appropriate topic bar is on there now, and we'll be moving forward.
All right. At MeJVT. There was never an underscore. There never will be an underscore. Let's make sure we know that. Yesterday, I talked about this Charlotte Hornets thing. I'm curious about your reaction to it. And again, I don't want to make too big of a deal of it, but something to watch. The Hornets are in action tonight against the Chicago Bulls, and people are like, why do you want to talk about the Hornets? They're 6-8. What's the big deal? 3-point favorites, by the way. And maybe, for our purposes of this little brief discussion, more interestingly, the total, 228.5. And essentially, the conversation was, as you heard, it was James Borrego, their coach, saying, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm giving him words here, but he's probably like, look, I don't have talent to compete with the elites. Let me try something a little different. So they play, the Hornets do, zone defense, which, you know, wasn't allowed in the NBA till a few years ago. They play zone at a rate that is way higher than any other NBA team. And right now, anyway, through 14 games, they're 11th in points allowed per opponent possession. That's like, you know, right around where the Bucks and the Pacers are. And Borrego's thing is, you know, as long as we don't avoid the cheap transition buckets, it's a good thing, with the exception of rebounding. Rebounding's a little, you know, they're going to figure that out. Playing zone isn't the best position to box out guys necessarily. But, you know, the opponents right now, JBT, and I'll kick it to you, opponents right now, 6th worst percentage from behind the arc. I mean, I think it's kind of cool that they're trying this anyway.
Oh yeah, like 100%. And I'm a big fan. We will not find a bigger fan of James Borrego than me, because I think Borrego's quietly done a really good job with this team overall. And you're right. And you and I were texting about this quickly, you know, a couple of days ago when you first had the segment, or was it yesterday? All the days melt together.
No, he was yesterday.
But you know, right? A coach who is going to try to raise the floor of his team in any way possible by doing something out of the box, trying to do something to improve his team that the other teams aren't. It's very impressive. And part of this too, Gil, and they've kind of were forced into this, and Cody Zeller is going to come back today, it sounds like, with that hand injury. He missed quite a bit of time. But they also went small, and that was part of the thing that really helped them. P.J. Washington was getting a lot of minutes at center. With him at center, according to Cleaning the Glass, they were just giving up 1.1 points every 100 possessions. So, you know, they're mixing things up. They're doing things a little bit differently. And Borrego's done a great job of not only throwing different schemes out there, but developing players, right? Devontae Graham was a most improved player candidate last year. We see how LaMelo Ball is developing and thriving in that system with them as well. So I think if you're out there and you're interested in watching, you know, a well-coached team and a team that is developing, I think Borrego and the Hornets are the team to look at. And you mentioned it too. I mean, not only the unders with this team, and they're skewed to the under on the season, they're perfect 6-0 to the under at home, whatever that means.
Right.
And so, like, and they're playing again here today at home. So we'll see if that is factored in. But I do think, to your point, this is a team that's flown under the radar. Playing zone, I think, sometimes is viewed as a weakness, but a little bit more now it's being widely accepted. The Heat, remember last year in the postseason, were in the Londa zone, especially against Boston. And I think you're going to start to see this more from NBA teams.
Especially on the heels of Dan Campbell's ridiculous press conference. I'm not saying this to be funny. Like, on the heels of that display, to hear about stuff like this, Borrego, and you kicked it back to Spoelstra last year in the bubble. Like, that's the stuff, man. That's the stuff that wins you games, you know, in pro sports. You have to look for the edge where you can manufacture one. If you're clearly, especially the NBA, when you, talent is obviously king. Speaking of that, we got to see the Brooklyn Nets for the first time. So Colin Sexton's 20 points in a row outburst aside on his way to 42 and the 12-point win by the Cavs over the Nets in double overtime. He had 38 and 37 from Kyrie and KD. He had a triple-double from James Harden. Your first impressions through one basketball game, sir, for the Nets?
Kind of what we expected, right? I mean, this is going to be a team that's going to have a pretty high ceiling offensively, but a pretty low ceiling when it comes to their defensive game plan, right? Overall, you scored 113.4 average, 113.4 points over 100 possessions. You gave up 123.5. And so you're going to have to do better than that when it's talking about, you know, your offense operating, because that's the whole thing, right? When you're running with this game plan that the Nets are, you obviously have to outscore. You got to have the better offensive rating. You can't be giving up more points per possession. And so when it comes to that, at least, you know, when it's three guys like that with the magnitude of their offensive games all playing together for the first time, you could all be best friends and it's still going to be an issue to work out there, especially against a Cavs team, which, by the way, you know, has quietly been one of the better defensive teams this year. And maybe that's going to be some regression here to the mean in terms of what they're doing defensively. But right now they're still second in overall defensive efficiency, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So this is kind of something I think you expected, right? I was on with you on Primetime Action and we talked about it, like that number getting all the way up to 11 when the first three, you know, first time these three guys have played on the floor together was a little out of this world. And I think when you watch that, your reaction should not be, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. It should just be, all right, first time together, three guys who are really ball dominant and, you know, used to playing in their way and being the alpha. It's going to take some time to get this worked out. You know, it doesn't help that today Kevin Durant is questionable. He played 50 minutes in that game, and I don't think he's probably going to roll today because he's got that Achilles he's recovering from, obviously. So we'll see this work itself out down the stretch. But I would say give it at least like 10 games, and let's see where they're at in 10 games with this offense and how it's flowing.
Talking to the Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA analyst here at VSiN, the swan song of the edge here a little later on today. Last night, JVT, well, first of all, the Draymond Green ejection, what was that? That was ridiculous. Did you see that second tech in the Warriors-Knicks game?
No, I didn't see the second tech. I saw that he got ejected. I was enthralled with a couple of other things that I was watching, including Stan Van Gundy getting ejected in the Pelicans game. But yeah. I didn't see what exactly warranted it. I just saw that he got kicked out.
I think he said one word or something. Like and they immediately threw him out of the game. And everyone was at that point. You knew that game was kind of over because at that point Julius Randle was going to be unfettered the rest of the game. 119-104. New York rolled him in the second half. The real thing I want to get your reaction on yesterday, of course, though, was the Lakers in Milwaukee. Lakers were actually a slight dog. They were like a 1.5 point dog in this. But, you know, even though we see these questionable, you know, every night, LeBron and AD questionable, there's no chance they weren't playing against Milwaukee. This game, John, was like kind of ho-hum. Like Milwaukee made one run. Actually, they made it second one. They got close. They got within a bucket at 102-100. But it really was not a nip and tuck game. The Lakers just kind of had their way with them. Bigger reaction from you about the Lakers or about the Bucks after that game?
Yeah, I tweeted out yesterday too. I was like, this is such a weird low energy game. Yeah. Like it just seemed like the guys were just kind of going through the motions. But to me, the reaction here, and it's something I've talked about on my show. It's something I believe I brought up to you in Primetime Action a couple of nights ago when the Nets and the Bucks were playing. And it's something I've wrote about as well. I think the market is a little too high on Milwaukee. I think this team is still being revered by the market as the team that was dominant in the regular season the last few years, that was just rolling through, covering double-digit spreads at home, just dominant, right? But this is a team that is worse. Defensive rating with Giannis off the floor is 2 points worse than it was last year, and there's time for that to either get worse or better. But it just speaks to the talent overall, right? You have guys like George Hill and Wes Matthews who aren't there anymore. Wes Matthews on the other sideline, right, yesterday. Or I guess that's football, right? So on the other bench. But like when you look at it just from that perspective, this is a Milwaukee team that is still relatively good when it comes to the pecking order of the Eastern Conference, but it is a team that is worse from last year, Gil. And so I think that's my big takeaway. Like in certain spots, and I think especially against like some higher leverage spots against some of the better teams in the NBA, you know, I made that line yesterday, Lakers minus two, right? And so when you see that as high as and like in that matchup where they're comfortably in control, especially in the second half, I'm just really surprised by the market's perception of Milwaukee. Maybe we'll start to see that shake out a little bit here in the next few months. But I think that's the takeaway, is that when you're looking at Milwaukee, especially in these big games, right, the next game earlier this week, the Lakers game last night, that be a little aware that the market, I think, is a little too high, and there is some value, I think, I'm playing against them in those spots.
I timed it very impeccably last night. It doesn't usually happen this way, so people who think I'm saying like it always does, please, it does not. But when the Lakers were down 5 points in the first quarter, I believe it was, I grabbed them at plus 149 on primetime action last night. I was like, I'm not getting too cute with this. Like, I'm glad I did, and that one was relatively coasty. Anything on a pretty robust 10 games, at least, in play tonight? 10 games exactly, I believe, on the NBA slate. Make it 11. I don't know, 10 or 11. Any picks? Any plays?
Yeah, so the one thing I'm keeping an eye on, and it was pretty surprising to see that this number opened up as low as it did in some global shops. So the Pacers opened up as a 3-point favorite over the Orlando Magic. Right now we're looking at like 4, 4.5. But this is a Magic team, Gil, that I'm all in on potentially like fading, right, when it comes to just a lot of these matchups. You know, they get the comeback win over Minnesota the other night. Cole Anthony hits the massive shot. But remember in the and you guys were tracking that when I came on with you guys, I think they got outscored at 1.24-3 in the second quarter. Like, it was absolutely atrocious. But this is a team that has now failed to cover 6 out of 7 games, and their offensive efficiency has been in the tank. They're really beat up. There's no flow to their game offensively. Now you get Indiana, and we were talking about James Borrego, right, and coaches who raise their ceiling with some of the tweaks that they do. Nate Bjorkgren has done a really good job with Indiana. I've talked to you guys about him multiple times. Busted out a freaking box and one the other day against Steph Curry. This is a guy who's going to do a lot of stuff defensively. Miles Turner, a couple of days ago against Dallas, was on the floor with a, you know, warming up. He has a cast on his hand. I think that's a positive sign for him to potentially play here. But I think this should be Indiana like 5.5. At least that's where my numbers came out to be. And so even at 4.5, there might be some value here, especially if Turner's going to play. But I think Orlando is just in a free fall at this point. And the power rating on them is a little weird, right? You know, the New York game, they open and close as a 2-point favorite on the road against the Knicks. They open and close as a 4-point favorite on the road against Minnesota. And now here they open as just a 3-point underdog. I think the market's a little off on Orlando. So I think I'm going to keep playing them until it blows up in my face, or at least keep playing against them. And that was the one big one that stuck out to me.
Okay. So you're on who, Orlando or Indiana then in the end?
Indiana.
You're on Indiana. That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. I got a little confused there at the end. All right. So Indiana -4, which you have it at -5.5. So play on the Pacers tonight in the NBA. NFL, AFC Championship and NFC Championship. Well, I have you here. Might as well get your thoughts on that. We all have thoughts. What are you playing in the championship weekend games?
So the one that I'm very confident in is Kansas City. You know, I think this is a little bit of a discount on the Chiefs. You know, we had that conversation during the Sunday games, right? And I was at the Westgate talking to those guys, and we know them and a couple of other shops opened it like Kansas City -4 during the game. Mahomes gets hurt, takes it down, and then we get this adjustment. And I thought it was a little bit of an overreaction from the market to get as low as 2.5 this week for this game. I think this is probably a line that at least I think should be around 4.5, all things considered. I can understand having it down to 3 with the toe injury, but I think this is a discount. You have a bunch of things coming together here, but Kansas City right on this slide against the spread, the Buffalo Bills covering almost every single number known to man, and now this comes together with an injured Patrick Mahomes at a discounted price. So I really do like Kansas City here. And as far as the other game goes, I grabbed 4 when that opened up earlier in the week with Tampa Bay, and that's where I'm sitting on now. I do like this team defensively. I still think that Todd Bowles has done a great job with them and the adjustments that they've made. You saw it against Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. I'm a little worried about this offense, but that was a top 2 defense when you talk about New Orleans and DVOA rankings. Green Bay, of course, is a lot lower than that, and I think they'll be able to have some success here. And I just think Tom Brady and that that offense or be able to do something here against the Green Bay Packers, ranked, I think, 16th right now in DVOA rankings efficiency-wise. So that's where I'm sitting right now with the conference championship games.
Aaron Schatz and DVOA has loved the Buccaneers all year long. They really have over there. By the way, I had Johnny Avello on. We did Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Billen, and I on Primetime Action last night. We had Johnny Avello on from DraftKings and about the notion of, like, hey, when did you guys put up the Chiefs-Bills line? And he said they waited a little bit, but then they put it on because everybody else, you know, at that point it had it. But he said, were this a regular season game, which I thought was very honest of him, were this a regular season game between the Chiefs and the Bills, that line still would not be up.
Yep.
He's the first guy I heard say that. But it is, of course, and now we shall see. It looks like it's Mahomes, and I don't think there's any reason to believe that it's not going to be at this point. Jason is pointing me to my phone. I am going to my phone. Let's find out what this is about. Oh, okay. We'll get to that momentarily as well. Well, actually, let's do it here. Do you have 5 minutes to talk about UFC 257 after the break? Can you be with us for 4 more minutes? Okay, let's do that. Yeah. Let's show JVT's Point Spread Weekly piece that he has out right now for those who want to consume this. And it is about the Indiana Pacers, with Pacers surging Clippers on long haul. There's a Clippers element to that. You got 30 seconds to sort of tease that for us, if you would, JVT, the Clippers part.
Yeah, just really quickly, I think, you know, they've been covering the last few games, but this is a team that's tinkering with a lot of stuff. Ty Lue's been pretty open about it. If you look at their qualified lineups, they have one that has played over 250 possessions. The rest have played 60 or fewer. They're messing with a lot of stuff, and I think that's going to lead to some really fickle results in terms of covering spreads, not covering spreads. So just be in mind with that when it comes to the Clippers when you're betting on them pre-flop and throughout game.
We had a team total over on the Clippers the other night, and it was like so easy through three quarters. Then all of a sudden they just stopped playing basketball. Didn't get there. Yeah. 13-point favorites, by the way, over OKC tonight. Too many to lay, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Okay. We'll come back and get your UFC 257 thoughts, including his thoughts on McGregor and Poirier. JVT hanging with us for 5 more minutes right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It's Pegasus World Cup week, and First Bet's giving new and existing customers a $20 risk-free bet to celebrate the first major horse racing event of the year. It's easy. Visit VSiN.com/horses to sign up, place a win bet, and if your horse doesn't win, you get your money back, up to $20. If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you. Visit VSiN.com/horses to sign up for the special Pegasus World Cup offer today. Once again, another weekend commercial in front of us, so it calls another weekend story. You know how there's certain things in life where you figure out you're getting older? One of them had to do with the weekend for me. My buddy Franzen, who's the DJ over at Dre's, we used to work together at KML, but Franzen one day, he's like, hey, Gil, you want to come backstage with me when I'm DJing back in the booth for the weekend concert tonight at Dre's? I'm like, oh, sweet, cool. So like me, dumbass, I show up at like 10:30, 11, like thinking, oh, this is going to be great. Midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., right? 2:15, he comes on. Like, I can't do this anymore. That's how you know you're old.
So like, Guns N' Roses, and they didn't go on until like 1 o'clock in the morning at the House of Blues.
Yeah, no.
It was brutal.
Can't do that anymore. UFC 257, let's bring him back in. It's at me, JVT. The Twitter handle is Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, but also has thoughts on mixed martial arts, of course. How many bets do you have in pocket? What are you planning on betting here, John?
So for right now, I've got just the main event that I've really been looking forward to, obviously, between Poirier and McGregor. And I think one of the things, you know, we talked to Reed Kuhn, who does a great job. He's the author of Fightnomics, MMA handicapping, but analytics-based, that does a great job of breaking it down from a numbers perspective. Yes, there's numbers involved in mixed martial arts. There's numbers for everything now, right? And I agree with his assessment. This is close to a 50-50 fight, and he actually thought there was a slight edge to Connor, but we're talking in the range of like 53 to 54%. If you look at that price that we have right now, we're talking about an implied probability of nearly 74% for Connor, and we know like it's not earth-shattering news that betting against Connor McGregor, there's almost value every time. and getting prices like that. But Poirier has evolved as a fighter, Gil. Like, he is not going to stand. He'll stand and bang, but it's not just that try to knock you out in the first few rounds. He has added more of that clinch game to his overall arsenal. He'll clinch with Connor. He'll push him up against the gate. He'll try to wear him down. And I think that's going to really work in his favor. We know Connor historically has not had the greatest gas tank. And the last time we saw him fight was a year ago against the tomato can that is now Cowboy Cerrone. They gave him to him on purpose, right? They wanted to give him a win that we'd be able to get in there. So it's two-part thing for me here. I did bet Poirier in this fight, and I also bet over the 2.5 rounds. You can get it at like plus 170, somewhere in that range. But this is a fight that is not going to, I think, finish early on. I think this is a fight that is going to drag out into the championship rounds. And we've seen Connor, to give him credit, go to those championship rounds, right? The Diaz fights, we saw him do it with Khabib as well. This is a fight that's going to, I think, going to be a little bit longer. And by the way, look at Poirier and his chin, the way he fought Dan Hooker, who's, by the way, the co-main event in this match over the summer and one of the best fights I've ever seen. This is going to be a longer fight. So I think the real value is on over 2.5 and betting Poirier in that main event.
Wow. Conflicting UFC advice this morning.
Both
from JVT and Jordan Sherwood on that. Very interesting. By the way, one of these prelims got canceled, right? The one that Lou Finicaro liked a lot has been canceled. If you could flash that up so I can butcher these names, but pronounce them as well as I can.
Well, the Frivola fight is gone off the main card.
Oh, Frivola's off too?
Yeah, the prelims, it was the top one.
Oh, okay. Can you show me the prelims here? Because I know you don't want to pronounce it. Hakparast and Tsarukyan. That is gone. I think Sweet Lou was on Hakparast at plus 200. That is no longer an event as well.
Okay. I've got a little bit of an update. Tsarukyan is now fighting Frivola in a
catchweight
fight. Oh,
there you go.
Movement in the UFC card.
So they took the two that were available and put them together. Okay.
Thank you, Rob, our MMA analyst from downstairs.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. JBT, in our last 60 seconds, I just want you to be here as well. We want to wish not only is it your swan song on the edge today, but you're staying with us as our senior NBA analyst. You're not going anywhere. Our own Brendan Mendez. It's his final day here at VSiN, so we wanted to just pay a little tribute to Brendan, who has done so many things here over time at VSiN. He was a club DJ. We remember him as a DJ first. There was an audio engineer, board operator, technical director, everything in between. He's going to Colorado with his family. He's going to do some stuff. I don't know if he wants me to talk about stuff that he's going to do on air, but we wish Brendan the best and good luck in Colorado. He's going to do some stuff for VSiN. He's not completely leaving us either, but great dude. It's been with us, so shout out to Brendan, and I don't know, JVT, if you've had any contact with Brendan, but I just wanted to do it in your final seconds here.
Yeah, of course. Good luck in Colorado. It seems relatively selfish to make personal choices for the betterment of yourself and leave the company. But
yes.
Good luck out in Colorado, of course.
Or that spin. You know what, Brendan? Yeah. You're selfish. That's what you are. No, we didn't mean to do that. Thank you, JVT. Appreciate it as always, man. Good luck with everything this weekend. And I look forward to talking NBA with you all season long, man.
Yep, you got it, man. Thank you for having me.
Jonathan Von Tobel at me, JVT. What it has always been. On Twitter.
Always be.
And what it will always be. No plans to change it. Vinny Maliulo joins us. We always close the weekend from here at the South Point with Vinny's perspective from behind the desk. Slow jamming with Vinny. All your requests. 1-800-KBL-JAMS. Coming right back here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Become a VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for NFL Conference Championship Weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 per month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, and our point spread weekly betting guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. Do we have the slow jam intro for Vinny? And it goes a little something like this.
There we go.
We got to change this music. That's too smooth jazz.
Why not? Yeah.
Smooth jazz.
A little Tony Bennett today, Gil. How about a little Tony Bennett, maybe? No?
I'm thinking more 90s R&B is what I'm thinking.
Gil, we could get to 90s R&B, but you got a little...
a little Tony Bennett?
A little Tony, Gil.
Vinny, Hank Aaron passed away, 86 years old, number two all-time in homers, number one in RBI.
You know, what a terrific player. The things that he had to endure, you know, both on and off the field, but he never wavered. You know, just a great, great player. In fact, I heard a statistic too, Gil, or a factoid. When he came up, or when he started to play, he batted cross-handed. So he batted righty, but you know, when you bat righty, your left hand is on the bottom of your. But I heard that he was. I don't know if that's a fact or not, but I had heard that. But what a terrific player. And I remember, I'll tell you what, I actually remember not only him hitting, tying with number 714 and then hitting number 715, but the 69 playoffs, National League playoffs, was the first year that there were two divisions. In each league, there was an East and West division, and the Braves won the West, and they played the Miracle Mets in the playoffs. And I specifically remember he was on the team. It was Rico Carty, obviously Hank Aaron, or I think Orlando Cepeda was on that team as well. But he came to Nolan Ryan was a relief pitcher. And spot starter for the Mets that year. And just that matchup was amazing to watch.
Beat the Orioles, I believe, in the World
the
Series?
The 1969 Mets beat the Orioles 4-1, Gil.
Okay.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Lost game one and won the next four. Jerry Kuzman with the great quote, I told you we'd win it in four straight. I didn't tell you which four.
Yeah. But we stray. Hank Aaron passes away at the age of 86.
Amazing.
One of the all-time greats. Absolutely. One of the all-time greats.
Great ambassador for the game, too, when you think about it. So.
Okay. Championship weekend. NFC Championship. AFC. I'm on the Packers. I'm on the Chiefs. I don't care. Anybody tells me different. That's what I'm on.
Did you lay the price, the number, or did you money line? Because
I laid the number.
You did. Okay.
Yeah, laid the number, but and also have Green Bay first half. You have potential Super Bowl lines though here at the South Point.
Yes.
As well?
Christy put these up the other day, and I wanted to point out something about these lines. I think we have a graphic somewhere in the VSiN. System, but I'll read them out. So the potential matchups obviously are these, and here are the lines here. So the Chiefs versus the Packers. Chiefs 1.5 and 56 for the total.
Chiefs Packers Chiefs are 1.5.
Chiefs 1.5.
Okay, that's a little lower than I would have thought. Okay.
Well, Chiefs Buccaneers 2.5. Chiefs would be 2.5 and 55.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills and Packers 2. With a total of 54. And the Bills, Buccaneers.
Pick them.
Pick and 53.5. Now,
how'd I guess?
I think you bring up a good point. You mentioned the first one a little lower than you thought. Let's remember this because I want folks to understand something here. That's what these are matched up right now. You can bet these right now. If you think that this is going to be the Super Bowl matchup, you're going to be locked into that particular price.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that when the matchup comes out on Sunday evening, that's what's going to be hung. Yeah. Why? Well, we're going to take into account how these games are bet, how the games play out, how the teams come out of the games. And then, of course, the biggest factor, or one of the biggest factors, is what's the freshest in people's minds is that second game.
Of course.
Has a tremendous influence. So in my career, when I've done these in the past, there could be a point or more difference in what actually gets posted for some of the factors that I just mentioned. So, but right now they're up there for action, and of course there's also results. So pick the exact outcome.
Who beats who
of the games?
Here they are on the screen. The exact outcomes,
and those are up there as well.
Bills to beat Bucks, the longest shot on the board at 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
The short shot, Packers to beat Chiefs. Interesting that Packers to beat Chiefs is a little bit shorter than the Chiefs to beat the Packers. I actually have, when we did our brackets before the playoffs on Primetime Action, I had the Packers beating the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But every price within. Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
How much action do you actually get on this week?
It's a little bit of action. I think what if it's a more seasoned better, so if Gil Alexander looks at these, I think what Gil's going to look at is who you have in these two games, and you mentioned you have both favorites. I don't know if you have any future tickets, but you
Chiefs.
So you would probably take into account that and
look
at these.
Even though I think the Packers are going to beat them now, have Chiefs tickets.
So, the more casual fans are they're taking a flyer on their team. So if you're a Chiefs fan, you might see people take both, put $50 on both Chiefs to beat the Packers and Buccaneers matchup. So there's some you could identify the casual play obviously with professional play, because professionals will take a different approach, a more analytical approach based on what they think, what they have this weekend, and then what they have perhaps for the Super Bowl.
My buddy Jason Weingartner has a Buccaneers Bills matchup from before the season from someplace at 450 to 1.
450
to 1.
Just the matchup to get there.
Just the matchup. Buccaneers Bills. 450 to 1. Right before Brady signed.
I was going to say it had to be before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right before Brady signed.
March 15th. That's when all those bets were.
I was just curious. It's interesting. Did he have a thought that
he said?
That,
he said, there was the normal sort of. Remember, no one really knew. It wasn't like. Well, there was speculation on it.
Yeah. Well, we remember this. We had a prop up here at South Point. Where would Tom Brady's first regular season snap take place?
Yeah.
The Bucs were 40-1. On that prop.
Yeah.
All right. But they were 60-1 on the original Super Bowl odds before the Brady announcement. And we did have a gentleman bet it.
I have to tell you, first snap of season shenanigans that go on behind the scenes. I'll get to those stories here momentarily. Coming back with Vinny right here on the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Sign up with BetMGM for a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on Conor McGregor to win against Dustin Poirier. Just use bonus code VSIN100 and get in the ring with the king. To take advantage of the offer, download the app and make your bet with bonus code VSIN100 today. Paid in free bets, visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. You were talking Vinny Maliulo, ladies and gentlemen. Slow jamming with Vinny. Gil and Vinny here, always closing out the week. You were talking about the first snap bets.
First snap of the season for Tom Brady, 40-1
so,
on the Bucs.
I think I've told this story before on a Numbers Game, but there are all kinds of first snap shenanigans. One, I think somebody once had... somebody, and then the Dolphins went into like Wildcat, and Ronnie Brown takes the first snap only to have the quarterback. So there are all kinds of like little quirks, and then books are like, no, I'm sorry, didn't take the first snap, didn't miss one snap. But to give you an
excuse me for interrupting, but want to make sure is it, and you have to specify, is it regular season?
Yeah.
Or for what technically, right? Because if there had been an exhibition, which there wasn't this year, but
just to let you know the extent to which people will go to win a wager like that. So I have a friend whose name will remain anonymous who there was a book that did all these who will take the first snap behind center for like random college football teams, like many of them. I don't think they do this anymore because of this kind of thing. So he would go into, this is the truth, he would set up a Twitter profile with the with his picture being a very attractive young lady. And he would go into the DMs of like the entire quarterback rotation of college football teams and basically say, hey, so-and-so, I really want to go to your game on Saturday, but only if you're playing quarterback. And so it was, you know what it was? It was a numbers game, Vinny, is what it was. And so they did like 40 or 50 of these, and there was a college quarterback, I will not name the school, who actually responded. It was a Big 12 school, I'll give you that much. And he was like, oh yeah, I'm starting. And so that's the kind of stuff, that's the kind of lengths people will go to win wagers. So you always got to think
about
how
many schools did he troll?
Oh, I don't know, 20, he said, something like that.
Wow. You definitely had that story on this air before.
Yeah, I told that before, once upon a time.
That's
it, I've run out of stories, I'm gone.
Wow.
I reached the end of the internet.
That's
yeah, just letting you know. What about your prop? Four teams versus the field. What was that? Four teams again?
Okay, so the four teams: the Chiefs, the Packers, the Bills, and the Saints.
Ah, there it is.
Okay, so let's remember this: obviously the Saints get knocked out. At the time, which was the first week, December 4th, this was posted at South Point. And it included the Steelers, obviously the Buccaneers, the Seahawks, the Rams. Now it's down to three, obviously. Opened $1.60, the four teams favored.
Mm-hmm.
It got as high as 12-1. And now sits at, I think it's in the system, at 6-1. We adjusted to 450, 350, laid up now to 450.
So basically, you'd be betting the Bucks at plus 450.
Well, you would, yeah, at this point.
At this
field,
point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to determine if that is a, see what I'm doing? I'm trying to determine if that's a worthwhile wager right now. Well, because if
You're not asking who's playing quarterback, are you? You're not saying, are you playing?
No, I'm just doing a little.
I noticed that your Twitter, you have a beautiful face on there now. It's just
no, that's not me. No, it wasn't, trust me, it was not me. Promise you, I'm weird, but I'm not that weird. So if the Bucks, well, that's the thing. Is that good value or not at plus 450? I guess the answer
would be
it determines who they, it would matter who they would play in the Super Bowl to determine whether that's good value.
Well, you'd calculate
not.
A two team parlay,
but that's what I'm asking.
Parlay, right?
But that's what I'm saying. So whoever they play in the Super Bowl matters for that calculation.
Correct.
Because if it's the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
That is not good value. But if it's the Bills, that perhaps is good value.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically a pick'em game, right?
Just want to be careful what I said, Vinny, because you look like you were about to attack me there for a second.
Never.
Okay.
Gil.
UFC 257. So on a weekend like this, mm-hmm. where UFC 257 is perfectly placed, right? The eve of the championship games. Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. How actively do you anticipate this being wagered, and how much of that will be tied into football? Do people come in and they're like, oh, this is a perfect way to like do parlays or stuff like that?
A little bit, Gil. I mean, the fact that, listen, Conor McGregor is on the card. So Conor McGregor, you're going to get involved as a better, I would consider three types of betting on this game. So folks that focus on the UFC, and listen to VSiN and some of the analysis that goes into it. You know, Lou does a great job. Point Spread Weekly and things like that are broken down. So I think when you look at that and say, okay, because we did one thing about the pandemic, and the UFC was part of a very small betting menu early on, right? When there were no, the four majors were not playing, it was international soccer, international baseball, international hockey, and the UFC. And the UFC handle on those cards was record setting. So you've got, and then out of that came, you know, you had folks that were very proficient and zeroed in on the UFC, and it also created an even a bigger niche. I think some folks migrated to it. He said, "Look, I'm gonna get involved with this."
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
And before you might not have.
Yeah.
But the other part is the Conor McGregor factor. You're gonna bet on him because you love him, or you're gonna bet against him because you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so the fact that McGregor's on the card, I think, adds. a lot more handle to it. I'd say in excess of 25% because of that. But it's still going up against two of the biggest football games of the year.
Right.
So,
but might it be your largest bet, UFC? I mean, let's throw Mayweather McGregor out because that was
not
a boxing match. No. Let's throw that out.
Right.
We're just talking about UFC straight. Might this be your biggest handled UFC night because it falls on this weekend?
It'll be one of, I don't know if it'll be the biggest, because again, when it was standalone, Gil, there were six figures. It'll be one of the biggest ones. I don't want to say it'll be the biggest one that we've seen this year, but
that's still so hard. I'm sorry to interrupt. That's still so hard for me to wrap my brain around, right? Like, but that in the middle of June and July, but, you know, that it was still, like, because just by virtue of the fact that it was standalone, that it was so wildly bet. By the way, table tennis, which was the biggest thing in the pandemic. Do you know, in Colorado, it's never stopped. They still bet the heck out of that thing, which is amazing.
Yeah, we didn't do it. I mean, it's a little.
It's not a South Point thing, but I'm just saying.
No, but and that's fine. I'm not criticizing. Hey, listen, if that's what's driving business, good for them.
I want to get your reaction. By the way, Vinny Maliulo, ladies and gentlemen, kind enough to join us. In case you don't recognize the dulcet tones, the slow jamming voice of Vinny Maliulo, that's who's with us here. Johnny Avello was on Primetime Action last night. I've got to introduce you to guys.
You guys got to
meet. Johnny said a couple things which were interesting last night. He says lots of interesting things.
Yes.
But a couple of things that stood out. He said, one, he goes, we've gotten about 5% of our handle of these championship games so far. This is Thursday night heading into championship weekend. He said, we've gotten 5% of our handle. I knew it was low.
Right.
I'm not sure I would have known 5%. Is it the same for you?
No, I think it's a little bit more for us. But listen, there's no question that, 85 to 90% of the money is going to come in on Sunday, right? And it'll start tonight, right? Because we're still getting, even with the COVID protocols and a limited allowance of folks, right, 25% capacity, you're going to have your locals start getting out a little bit, but folks that are coming to town are going to pay tomorrow. But, 85% of the money, I would say, on Sunday. But theirs is spread out so much, too, right? I mean, to multiple states. So I could see that.
But 5% is 5%, right? But, it's just a reminder to us who deal with this every day and are so, immersed, that still most people are just waiting until right before the game and betting. And then the other thing that he said, which stood out, and I mentioned it earlier on the show, and for me, Johnny was the first person to sort of openly admit this. When Chrissy was on Guessing Lines on Monday, first thing I asked him was, like, you guys here at the South Point, you, Jimmy, and Chrissy, when, like, you were the most deliberate in putting out a Chiefs-Bills line, because we didn't know anything about Patrick Mahomes at the time, and I totally got that. I was amazed that so many books just liberally put out a line, not knowing about Mahomes' status. And Johnny told me and Matt Brown and Danielle Alvari and Kelly Bidlin on Primetime Action last night, he said, if this were a regular season game, this is last night, Thursday night, he goes, we still wouldn't have a lineup.
Probably not. And I would imagine that their limits were very low. But again, when you have such a national and a multi-state opportunity as they do, then you can do so. But I can't imagine that the limits were anywhere near what they are now, right?
And that goes back to you and me, our very first discussion we ever had here on VSiN, you and me, where we said, odds making is one thing, book making is another.
Two different functions. Not everybody does both, Gil.
So the low limits, and even if we heard today, oh no, it's Chad Henne and it's not Patrick Mahomes, it swings 6-7 points, the limits are much
higher. But if you get that announcement, and obviously there's an adjustment too, right? I mean, towards the Bills. By the way, I haven't met him yet, but I heard he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Well, I did the Flatter podcast this week with Johnny, Chrissy, and Dwayne Colucci. We broke down the Pegasus races.
I'll introduce you two guys eventually. Vinny Maliulo, everybody, or as Chrissy Andrews, who's known him for 45 years, calls him, Vinny Maliulo.
That's right. Special. Special. That's the Greek pronunciation.
Vinny, enjoy the weekend.
You too, Gil.
It's going to be fun. Good luck to you, whether it's football, UFC, or beyond, with all your bets from all of us at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.